One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories Patreon bonus preview. If you like what you're hearing, stick around to the end to find out how you can get more. Hey guys, welcome to episode 1482 of Hillbilly Shorts.
What's going on?
Back to finish off the Muda Museum.
Muda. Muda Yaputa. I just made that up.
Oh, no kidding? The conjoined livers of the Bunker Twins. Conjoined twins... Oh, their original, inappropriate name, Siamese twins, to history's most famous pair, Chang and Ing Bunker. Born in Thailand, formerly Siam, in 1811. Chang and Ing were joined at the lower half of their chest. They didn't share a liver, though their livers were connected. So they were connected, but they were separate. They each one functioned on its own liver, but their livers did connect.
Okay.
The Bunkers came to America in 1829 and toured as sideshow performers before settling in North Carolina and marrying non-conjoined, non-twin sisters. They went on to become successful farmers and between them had 21 children.
What?
I guess literally it was between them.
How is that possible?
I think there was a lot of cowgirl riding type stuff going on.
Oh, my Lanta.
You know, they died literally within like a day of each other.
No, they didn't.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Aw. Well, they never got separated?
No. They didn't have the ability to do that back then.
Well, I guess they wouldn't have. And how old were they?
Oh, they were older when they died. I want to say they were in like their 50s or 60s.
Uh-huh. Good Lord, 21 kids. That's amazing.
They were fertile. There ain't
fertile.
No doubt about that.
No doubt, man.
Massive collection of skulls. In the 19th century, Vietnamese anatomist, I guess that's, yeah, anatomist, Dr. Joseph Hertel set out to prove phrenology, an accepted science of determining personalities and illness via cranium mapping, was a purview of quacks. To this end, he collected heads and studied them, basically saying the shape of your head or the size of your head determined what type of person you were. Some of the more colorful entries to Hertz's 139 skull collection included Franica Sikora, a famous Viennese lady of the evening. Archid Gottlieb, who took his own life at age 19 after his mistress cheated on him, and a man who removed his own male organs. So he was like trying to... type people commit suicide, people that were scandalous, people who might have been mentally ill, and seeing if you could tell by their skulls.
Oh my gosh.
What made them tick, basically. The brain of the man who shot James Garfield. Charles Goodyear was a failed lawyer and unsuccessful newspaper man. He was also the man who shot President James Garfield in July 1881 and claimed God told him to shoot the president. The doctors who performed Goodyear's autopsy paid special attention to the brain, attempting to blame his erratic behavior on his predisposition of criminality, pointing to abnormally small blood vessels and a degeneration of gray matter. Scientists in the 21st century think this is a whole lot of hooey and chalk Goodyear's behavior up to malaria and neural syphilis.
I was going to say, I don't know how they can determine that. I mean... I don't know. It just sounds kind of bizarre.
Here's the last one. Inhaled and swallowed foreign objects. If you've ever had a doctor shove a fiber optics thread up your nose, down your throat, into your lungs, you have Dr. Chevalier Jackson to thank, amongst the various other scientists of yore. The doctor helped develop a procedure known as bronchoscopy. During his 75-year career, Jackson amassed a collection of 2,374 swallowed objects, including toys, buttons, screws, and dentures removed from respiratory organs.
Can you swallow a denture?
That seems like it'd be easy. Maybe not the whole thing. Maybe it's might be just like an implant or a partial. His most dangerous surgery? 3 safety pins pulled out of a 9-month-old baby.
Oh. That's terrible.
Yeah, that's weird.
And he kept all of it.
Yeah, he kept all of it. And it's all on display.
Oh, wow.
At the Mutter Museum. See, people, you're missing out. If you live in Philadelphia and you haven't been there,
oh, there's a lot to see. To yourself. You should, yeah. You'll be amazed.
So, anyways, that wraps up this edition. We'll be back tomorrow to finish up the week.
See you later.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 1483 of Hillbilly Shorts.
What's happening?
So Tracy, we're going to go right from one weird museum to another.
Oh.
We're going to finish off this week talking about the strangest things you can eat at the Disgusting Food Museum.
Oh, brother.
This first thing is called, I think it's called a balut, B-A-L-U-T. Eaten primarily in the Philippines, balut is a duck egg with an unusual twist. It contains a duck fetus. These eggs have not been fertilized, but have developed for about 3 weeks.
Dude, they did that on Fear Factor.
I remember that.
Ugh.
The partially developed chick is soft enough to be safely chewed, and the entire contents of the eggs are meant to be eaten.
Ooh, I would never. They're poor little babies.
China has plenty of foods and recipes that are supposedly ancient aphrodisiacs, including bull penis. In restaurants, it's often served in a soup, but it's also sold whole in marketplaces. According to those who have eaten it, the taste is rather bland. The meat is chewy and a bit rubbery. However, so some people may not like the texture.
That's disgusting. Give me a break.
Fried tarantula.
Ugh.
Eating a spider might be putting off to some, but fried tarantula is a well-loved dish in Cambodia. During the reign of the Khmer Rouge in the 1970s, the dish developed out of necessity, but it's remained a delicacy ever since. The dish is prepared using a quick marinade made from sugar, seasoning, and chicken powder, and then cooked in boiling oil for less than a minute. The tarantula is eaten whole and supposedly has the flavor resembling crab.
Yeah, but ain't tarantulas poisonous?
No, they're not poisonous.
Oh. That's disgusting, too. Gross.
Cuy, C-U-Y, or roasted guinea pig, is a Peruvian dish eaten primarily by farmers living in the mountainous regions of the country. Roasted guinea pig has emerged as a delicacy in Peru, however, and cuy is now a popular dish in restaurants throughout the country. Like any other livestock, guinea pigs are bred and raised in farms, and due to the recent high demand, guinea pig farming has become a booming and profitable industry for many farmers.
So, even today?
Yes. The animal is often served whole and is described as having a similar flavor to rabbit or pork.
I just cannot imagine eating those little critters like that. I think I'd rather go out and chew on a tree.
Casu marzu. Originating from the island of Sardinia, Casu marzu is a particularly unique sheep's milk cheese because it's filled with live maggots. The maggots slowly digest and process the cheese to give it a soft and palatable texture. When served, the maggots are still alive and crawling. The delicacy has a very strong flavor, and those who have eaten it say you don't even notice the maggots.
Oh my God, I'm going to hurl.
Hakarl. Hakarl is eaten year-round in Iceland. The dish is made from Greenland shark, which is eaten without being properly treated. It can be toxic due to high levels of urea. The shark meat goes through a process of fermentation for 6 to 12 weeks. It is then hung to dry for several months before it's ready for consumption. The smell from the rotting shark is said to be far worse than the taste, but has proven too difficult to manage for some world-renowned chefs.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, okay, so how in the world do you think, you know what, I want to eat something. First, I'm going to catch this shark, and then I'm going to let it sit out and spoil for 6 to 12 weeks. And then I'm going to dry it for several months, and it stinks to high heaven, but I'm going to go ahead and eat that. You made a choice to do that.
No. Mm-mm. Nope.
Well, what about fruit bat soup? God. Fruit bat's a popular food from the Republic of Palau, a small Micronesian island, although it has fallen out of fashion in recent times due to meat importation from the United States. Fruit bat was once eaten as a delicacy. To prepare the soup, a whole bat is cooked in a murky broth, then removed from the soup and garnished with chilies and scallions. The soup and the bat are eaten separately. What about mouse wine? Mouse wine, found in parts of Korea and China, allegedly helps treat all kinds of medical conditions. The drink is essentially rice wine infused with three-day-old baby mice, which had been drowned alive and left to brew for 12 to 14 months. As for the flavor, it's been compared to gasoline.
What? And I've actually drank gasoline before. Not on purpose, of course.
The Mongolian Mary is a traditional Mongolian beverage similar to a Bloody Mary. It's made primarily from tomato juice. Unlike the Bloody Mary, however, this beverage has pickled sheep's eyeball floating in it. Mongolians eat the eyeball and drink the juice to supposedly cure hangovers.
I can't even with this. This is just so gross.
Durian. In Southeast Asia, where durian is commonly grown and eaten, the taste of the fruit is said to be like bites of heaven. So what makes the food disgusting? The smell of a durian has been compared to turpentine, gym socks, and corpses. Durian is used both raw and cooked in Asian cuisine, but the aroma is so noxious that a law was enacted in Singapore to prohibit eating the fruit in some public areas. Last one we're going to do.
Please, before I barf.
Surstromming is... There's this one here, actually. I've seen some YouTube things where they have a, what do you call it? Like a dare for people to eat it, mm-hmm. and they film it. Ugh. Surstromming is herring preserved with a large amount of salt and then sealed inside a metal can for at least 6 months. Once it's ready to be eaten, it unleashes a horrendous smell, widely considered the worst food odor ever. The smell is so powerful that... it should never be opened indoors, as the aroma will cling to walls and furniture for what seems like forever. Though its smell is assertive, the taste of it is supposedly quite delightful. It's a popular delicacy in northern Sweden, often served with Swedish flatbread called tunbröd, potato, red onion, and sour cream. Vegemite's on there, too.
Oh, Vegemite. We never did eat that, did we?
No, I don't know where it went. It disappeared.
Oh. Who gave it to us?
I ordered it. I was going to do it so Natasha could see it.
Oh, that's right.
And we were going to do like a live thing on it, and I don't know where it went. So maybe we'll do that again sometime. Mm. All right, guys, that wraps it up for this week. Hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, yummy.
Hope you wouldn't eat breakfast.
Yeah, enjoy your dinner, why don't you?
Hey, guys, if you like what you just heard... we do 6 of those small bonus episodes every single week. We also do 2 full-length bonus episodes every month. We do a listener stories episode, and then a story that's just like the ones you would typically hear on the regular feed. If you're interested in supporting us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com and look up Hillbilly Horror Stories, or go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com, and there's a direct link right there. Thank you guys so much for what you do for us.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.com. KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at KOSI.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to KOSI. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to KOSI starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at KOSI.org.